Well, good day, listeners, and welcome to episode 7 of the Leadership Series here at the Kingdom Business Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. We've got a great episode here, and I know we're going to talk about a topic that you are really going to enjoy. Also, want to welcome our YouTube live stream viewers who are on there. And if you're listening to the podcast and you also frequent YouTube, then you can go and find youtube.com/kingdombusiness. And all of our content is there too. There's videos put up every single day. So on today's episode, We are talking with my beautiful wife. So today we have Kimberly Hone, and she can introduce herself in a second. But I really wanted to have an honest conversation around, the mix of business, marriage, family, kingdom, and explore that. And let Kimberly talk into that area from, you know, the other side, I guess. And that's going to be really, really interesting and really honest and a whole lot of fun. You know, business is hard, marriage is hard, put them together, and it can be an area that brings a lot of friction. And so, you know, all things being completely transparent, Kimberly and I, you know, we haven't had one of those Instagram marriages where everything is beautiful and perfect from day one. We've certainly had our struggles and our challenges that we've had to work through. And so I don't want to be that fake life podcast. I want us to basically have a candid fireside chat about some of the things that we've learned along the journey. And you guys hear me all of the time. And so it'll be great for you, I guess, to hear the other side and the honest side of things. So, Kimberly, why don't you make an introduction to our wonderful listeners?
Hello. Yeah, well, Wes and I have been married now for about 12 years. I don't even know the exact time. Yes. like Wes said, it's not always rosy. And then when you throw business in the mix too, that can put a lot of tension between you both. A lot of people ask me, what's your role in the business, which isn't always easy for myself to answer, because over the last 11 years that role has changed and can change multiple times within the time frame of even 1 year. And I guess there's probably a lot of people out there who can relate to that. So over the years, we've had to just work together and in changing roles, and your business changes as well as it grows and develops. That's just, I guess, who I am. And Wes and I are both very, very different people, which we've come to acknowledge as well. But together, I do believe that, I believe that God is in the mix even when you have two people who are very, very different, who sometimes can even be on either end of one scale. God can still bring two people together. And in fact, that's what he did when we birthed Business Greenhouse together. So, yeah, that's me, I guess.
So Kimberly's Gold Coast born and bred. She's had a pretty eclectic career before kids. One of the things you won't know about her is she is a qualified wildlife ranger. she went and did a whole bunch of work with at-risk youth and things like that. So she's got a massive heart for people and injustices, and it's a beautiful thing. And so Kimberly, like she said, she's a 50-50 brainchild of Business Greenhouse. This isn't my thing that Kimberly agreed to. We put our heads together to come up with it. And although her role has been different and varied over those 7 years from starting Greenhouse, then, you know, I consult to her all the time on big decisions. She's a very much a discerning voice from the sidelines for me, who I can go to, and very involved when we run our events and things like that. So it is a wonderful, wonderful partnership. So Kimberly, I want you to have license to be honest. during this interview and whatever form
Are you
that
sure?
takes. I am sure.
Pat's ready with the dump button.
Because we've just installed a dump button. So if you say anything that damages my brand, we'll just unplug the interview and edit it out later anyway. All right. Here's a topic I want to talk about. Kimberly and I, we've seen this, right? We've seen people that have come to us, kingdom business people, you know, in marriage, and one will say, hey, I need the other person to get on the same page as me.
Mm.
And listen, I'll be totally honest, it's usually chauvinistic men who are in business and they are just assuming they need to get their wife to be on the same page as them.
Mm-hmm.
And it frustrates me because it can't be one side, you know, it can't just all be one side.
Yeah.
So can you just talk into that for a minute? Like, you know, how do you see that? How can people get on the same page?
Mm.
And how do you see that notion of one saying, I need my partner to get on the same page as me?
Mm. Well, that's funny. It's interesting that you said that you hear it from men because I hear it from women. And the women that I hear it from are the ones that are quite often the stay-at-home parent or the one not in the daily runs of the business. And, the problem with that, it's a great question, but we need to make sure what is the page. Are you talking about your own personal page? There should be a view or a desire, or the objective needs to be that you are on the page for you both. What is the page that the Lord has for you, and what is the goal that you both need to be working towards? And in saying that, It really needs to be about having a heart of understanding. And this is something that I think grows and develops as you really try to see things from another person's perspective, which is what the Lord really wants us to do. He wants us constantly lay down our own agenda and to see things from someone else's perspective. And that in itself is actually the fruit of compassion. And so to be able to understand, okay, where is my husband coming from? Where is my wife coming from? What are her skill sets? What are his skill sets? What are the desires inside my partner's heart? And what is the future that the Lord has for us together as a whole? And also in saying that, the only other caution I'd have about having that page mentality is it doesn't leave room for growth or development or for flexibility. And we know that in business in particular, but also in family life, it's crucial that you remain flexible because things change every day and things change every year. And so you need to be you need to go with the flow. Everybody, the both partners in the marriage need to be able to be flexible and to be able to move and pivot on the spot. Like I know Wes, you speak about in business all the time, be able to just go with the flow and go with the next thing and work together. But really just having that heart of understanding, and which is the outworking of having compassion.
I also believe that there's everyone has a different call.
Mm.
And you actually said like about the different times. Actually, I want to ask you about this, about, you know, you mentioned laying down and everything. Because obviously I speak about, like, my wife is a stay-at-home wife.
Yeah.
And I get, like, people balk at that, like, as if I'm being a chauvinistic. It's like, no, that was our agreement when we got together. That was her call
to
release me into that. And I believe that I've seen That's you good. Two operate as well, that people see people like Wes and I in the spotlight and our wives are off to the side and they think that that's the typical. It's like, no, that's the call. But I also know that you have a call that's going to be bigger than that. That's going to be president of Australia, you know.
President?
Madam President. Yeah,
exactly. So we're going to become a republic.
She's going to change it to a republic and she's going to be the first president.
You heard it here first, folks.
Oh, wow.
Look, it's a bit of an inside joke, but like, we know that that's your big vision. And that's why, like, it's how did you find that it was a seasonal thing, that there's a season where you had to lay down and then how do you know when the season is for you to pick that up?
I feel like once you die to Christ and you rise with Christ, your whole life should be a laying down. You know, even though we still have things like goals and we need to make sure we have vision. So it's not like laying down everything they have and then we just become a doormat. We don't do anything with our lives. That's not what we're about. But it, our life needs to be a laying down sacrifice. And, you know, I can get caught up in my own personal sacrifices that I feel like I'm making all the time because I'm this stay-at-home mom and I've put my career on hold and I've put this on hold and I've put that on hold, you know. But I have to also remind myself that Wes, as at the moment as the number one provider and also as the person who's building our business and our ministry on a daily basis, you know, minute by minute, you know, not every one of those minutes is enjoyable. So he's laying down his life too every day. And I have, sometimes I do admit, I have to remind myself of that. But I think, just understanding that you're, that even though you have different calls, you can still come together and support one another in those different unique calls. And I think over the years, every now and again, people get a glimpse of the fact that I am possibly called to something very different to what I'm currently doing. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, wow, that doesn't fit their mold. And that's okay, you know. And at the moment, I am that stay-at-home mum, and at the moment Wes is the full-time working provider, but that's not going to always be the case.
And that's so not a less calling either. Not a lower calling. It is, all callings are different, greater than the other.
And again, that's something that I also have to remind myself of because, you know, for my, so what Wes touched on briefly before I started having kids, I was a family support worker at a primary school and it was a very needy school. So I was responsible for about 400 students and all their families. And so all of a sudden I went from that to changing nappies every day. And that was very, very hard for me to adjust to. And so I lost that sort of sense of purpose, you know. And so it can be really hard to adjust to that. Other women are different. Some women just love the role of parenting. They can't imagine anything else. That's all they want to do with their life. And you know what? Good on them. Like, and I've drawn from those people at times, you know. But, yeah, I guess just understanding that that it's okay. A lot of people think that, oh, you know, now that we're married, there's one call and, you know, whoever wears the pants, so to speak, has the call and then the other person just tags along like a duckling behind them. And I don't think that that's the case. I think the beauty is the fact that God has got two very different people and he's uniting them. Unity is not two people being exactly the same. Unity is two very different people with different goals and different dreams that have this supernatural ability to combine and to unite. That's true unity. And I do believe that only God can do that.
Yeah, it's good. And so for you guys, that was Business Greenhouse, wasn't it? Because, I mean, obviously everyone knows Wes as Business Greenhouse, but you were coaching for a long time before Business Greenhouse. How was that shift between, for both of you, the when you were doing it, I don't know, I assume that by what you're saying, it was kind of a little bit separate and then the coming together of Business Greenhouse?
Yeah, I think Business Greenhouse was the first real thing that we both agreed on and came together on and did well.
Yeah,
and there was a grace on it because we're both on the same page. But just picking up, like I just wrote in my notebook here, that yes, it would be very easy to look at a couple and find the differences.
Yeah.
I think we can all do that. We can all look at our partner and look at their shortcomings and look at how we're so different. And that's, by the way, a great place for the enemy to play. And just, you know, you got it wrong. You married the wrong person. There was somebody else out there for you. All that rubbish, right, which we talk about in a minute. But there is something to be said. The way I look at it is Kimberly and I are cogs in a machine that we need to learn to work together. But like any cogs, when they first start, there's grinding of gears, right? And this is what we know. When we were 1 year married, we went and got some help. Praise God for our pastors who are so godly, who helped us both understand this. And the way Len said it to me is those gears, when you first start them, they're going to grind, but after a while they're going to lock in and then you're going to be able to fly.
That's so good.
And we literally, and that was very true. It was harder before it was better.
Yeah.
Right. But we persevered, right? We both wanted, we were both running towards the cross. We both wanted the things of God. We both wanted a great marriage. And so through the pain of doing that, it come together. And now we're faster because we're working in unison.
Mm.
And so the first thing that was Business Greenhouse. Like, I'll be honest, I went into the marriage not really knowing much about marriage. I'll be totally honest. Like, I knew I wanted to marry Kimberly. 12 weeks after we married, we find out she's pregnant. It's a massive rush. We've got a brand new business. It's all flying really, really quickly. I was starting businesses and doing projects and doing all of this and not necessarily telling her. And then, so that would cause friction, and none of those things had a grace on them, and none of those things flew until we finally, my business coaching firm was great, but I mean, all these other things that I was trying and doing, and they all went nowhere. I was chasing fantasies. And when we actually sat down and put our heads together, and that was Business Greenhouse, I mean, look at it today. There is something really powerful, like Kimberly was saying, about the unity of the gifts. But we've got to die to self to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be, you know, me charging on. I mean, Kimberly and I both joke that I'm the front man now, but there'll be a time in the future where I'm behind her, yeah, or let's say next to her, because yeah, I wouldn't say she's behind me now, pushing her towards, yeah, you know, what she's got a massive call in her life.
Yeah.
Now it's seasons, right? Mm-hmm. You know, she couldn't have done that whilst building a business and raising kids and all of those things. Mm. But there is a time, and it's starting, you know, we know now that Kimberly's got these passions, and now we've got the time and the resources to be able to invest in those. Mm. And so she's starting to find a voice. So I've just got to then lay down some things and so forth. I guess I started this by talking about the same page, because I see that is a recipe for disaster.
Mm.
When it's like, it needs to be my way and everybody's got to toe the line, that's not spiritual authority. Mm. That's not spiritual maturity.
Yeah.
That is a recipe for, you know, a life of friction, or potentially worse.
And did you feel that that's where you kind of were before, like that moment of, I'm going to call it Business Greenhouse as a milestone, but that season before that, you were more like, well, I'm just doing it my way. And
I was definitely like that in year one,
yeah,
of our marriage. But having said that, understand that it wasn't because I was chauvinistic. I thought that's what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't malicious.
Yeah.
I was literally like, I'm the provider. Now I found out I'm having a baby. I'm going to work 37 hours a day.
Work even harder.
I'm going to work even harder because now I've got to provide.
Yeah.
And so it was an immaturity thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That I went into it. I wasn't there going, I'm the top dog around here.
Yeah.
I just thought that's how you did it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't correct.
Yeah. What about you, Kimbo, during that time?
Yeah, look, Wes and I have never shied away from the fact that, you know, we almost separated in our third year of marriage. And like Wes is right, he worked incredibly hard, which is a great skill set in its own right, actually. You know, but that took a toll on the family. But in the same time frame, I never supported Wes in business. And I've spoken about this multiple times before. I've even blogged about it. I didn't support him in business because growing up, my father was in business, and I could see the massive toll that it took on our family and the financial pressure it actually took on our family. Yeah. And so I never really wanted to have anything to do with business, to be honest. And so there, all of a sudden, I found myself not married just to someone who's in business, but someone who wants to grow everybody else's business too. And so, and I could see, you know, it's not a normal life. It's not a 9-to-5 normal life. There's nothing about business that's normal at all. And in fact, if you're not gutsy and you're not strong enough to be flexible and to try new things, then, you know, business life will take a toll on you, you know. I didn't support Wes in his early endeavours, and then we were almost at absolute breaking point. In fact, we were at breaking point, and but thank God we decided two things which I believe were key to then launching Business Greenhouse. And the first one was forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was to draw a line in the sand and not look back.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. And they may sound a bit fluffy, but we literally did that. We said to each other, okay, as of this date, we draw a line in the sand. We're not looking back anymore. You can't cash in old tickets anymore.
That was our line.
It was so
that was the line. We can't cash in old tickets.
Yeah.
And if we ever you know, if somebody brought one up in during a friction, it would be like, no, you can't cash in, and you'd have to drop it.
Yep. And if you actually had something from the past that you did that was still there and you needed to deal with it, then we sat down at an appropriate time, not when emotions were high, and we were like, you know, when you did that, I felt like this. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it. But we didn't use them as cases or evidence against one another. Yeah. We dropped the cases and we had forgiveness for the past. And there is something – forgiveness, I don't believe is just this thing that we should do. There is actually a supernatural blessing that flows. It's like favor that flows when you follow that simple principle, because it was from that moment all of a sudden we had a clearer perspective. We were able to see where each other was sort of coming from, and then we were able to sit down and we just talked about the different things that the Lord had been putting on our hearts and everything. And then all of a sudden we just birthed Business Greenhouse out of that. The turnaround in like 6 months was ridiculous. And now we've been building business, well, Wes mostly over the last few years, but we've been building Business Greenhouse for this whole last 7 years or something, you know. And we are on this united front now, and to think that it came from two people who wanted out, who were on the brink of divorce, you know, is just phenomenal. And so I really believe that if you are in friction with your partner at the moment or your intention with your partner, forgiveness is massive. And it's blessing just flows with that. It's a principle of the Lord. It's a spiritual principle. Blessing flows when you have forgiveness. And then also, it enables you to drop the case you have against your partner. It takes you out of the judgment seat. It puts the Lord back where he belongs in that judgment seat. And you just drop the case that you have against your partner.
So what have you got to say to, like, both of you, like, to partners, now, male or female, that the like, because it's not always the male that's running. Sometimes it's the female that's running. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone who... Wes is obviously thinking he's doing the right thing by working hard and just like, I've just got to provide. How do you bring it up? Like, how do you address it? How
and when would be a good thought.
Which be exactly do you mean you want to address?
An issue. You're saying there's a big issue. Oh, okay. How do you start the conversation?
Yeah, how do you start the conversation of, I know you're doing, like, I don't know, like, you probably haven't reached that point of empathy that he's actually doing it for the right reasons, but you're just on this different path together.
Okay, right.
Like, you feel left behind and he's just working hard.
Yeah. It's really important to have those conversations when emotions are not high. So make sure you are not in this flustered state or you're frustrated or you're whatever. If you are and you want to have a conversation, just wait 12 hours. Just sleep on it. Just let your emotions just calm a little bit before you bring it up. And also make sure that your partner is in a position where they're not worn out and not tired.
Yeah.
Because if they're worn out and they're tired, it's not going to go down well. No. That's for both people. Make sure you are not distracted, so you don't have children around you, you don't have the phone going 24/7, you're in a position where you're not distracted. And then how you frame it is really important. So I think as soon as you say something like, right, we need to talk, or something like that, the defense is right. Yes, and Wes is agreeing here. The defenses rise immediately. So don't even frame it. Just have a chat, make a cup of tea and say, you know, I've just been feeling whatever, you know. And just be careful of the language choices that you use. If you're coming with a heart of understanding, like I said before, and a heart of compassion, then you're pretty guaranteed your language is going to be okay.
Yeah.
If you're coming with a case against your partner, I can guarantee you're going to sound more like a lawyer.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do? They're going to defend. So just make sure you come with the right heart, because at the end of the day, you want to be heard, but you also want a result.
Yes.
So if you just focus on being heard, which is what a lawyer does, right? You won't necessarily get a result.
What about now? because obviously I know Wes, we like he hasn't slowed down much. Like let's be honest, like we're still pushing and driving. What are some of the practical things that you guys have done to set boundaries or whatever to now make that not a concern, but while still pushing for a big vision, a big goal and a big outcome?
So fascinating that you say that, because right now this year the Lord really clearly spoke to us and he said, I want you to have a season of rest, you know. And so I'm like, here we are resting. And for me, I feel like we are resting. But yes, Wes has been really busy and the business is growing and we're increasing with our staff and all the different arms of our business. But at the same time, do you agree, Wes? Well,
my scripture says that we work from a place of active rest, right?
Yeah.
And so I think efficiency has picked up tenfold.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and there's an honouring on the boundary.
Yeah.
So because we've prioritised family, there is a grace on the business.
Yeah.
What are some of those practical, like those the boundaries with family?
Well, one of the things is because Wes sometimes works weekends, what we decided to do, and then also because we're on the weekend, you're trying to catch up with kids and your partner, so we decided that we'll take out a Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. Just for us two. And so it's actually taken us pretty much half the year to to actually start that process. But we are getting regular Tuesday mornings together now, which is about 4 hours, something like that. And we go and have a really good time. You know, one thing that I've always struggled with is the concept of date night, because for myself as a busy mum, by the time nighttime rolls around, I just want to go to bed.
Yeah, that's good.
You know? So we decided to do date day. Mm-hmm. And so Tuesday mornings has been our date day and we go and do lots of whatever we feel like doing on that day, but we make sure we don't just do nothing, you know. And so it's been really relaxing. It's been very restful. And then also we've made some other lifestyle changes. So for us, we've moved to a place where we can sew into our lifestyle, mm-hmm. so that when it comes to the weekend, we really truly do get rest and quality time together. So not everybody can have that. I understand that. But sometimes you do need to put your money where your mouth is and make those lifestyle changes, even if they are a little bit more expensive than what you're willing to originally pay. So for us, we've had to up the ante on where we live, but we get the rest that we need every weekend. Yeah. You know, we get that beautiful quality time together. Mm-hmm. We live within walking distance of lots of different things that we really love in our life at the moment. So a beautiful river, a couple of cafes. You know, and so we find that we're out walking with the kids off more often. We're scootering with the kids. And so you have that and we wouldn't have done that normally, but we decided, no, you know what, let's make a massive lifestyle change and we'll move house. Mm-hmm. And so we moved. So I think what else is there?
Well, one more practical thing that we do is we book family holidays in at the start of the year. So on January 1st every year we grab the calendar out and we say, okay, when are we going on holiday? Because if we don't do that, then we end up filling it with events and we're all over the country for everybody else and we haven't looked after ourselves.
Yes, absolutely.
So we'll book in, okay, we're going to go to New Zealand again and go skiing, or you know, we're going to go here and we're going to go there. We're going to take this weekend off and we're going to go away. And if we don't – so we slot those in first.
Yeah, I remember when you brought the calendar for us to work out our year, it had already been filled in, like you can't touch those dates because they're family dates.
Yes, yeah.
And by the way, that also makes the family feel really honoured. Mm. Like as a leader, you know, as the one that's going into the business world, you know, when I sit down with the family and say you guys first, they feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Yeah. It's a great way to edify them and take them on the journey.
Mm. That's good.
Yeah.
One thing I want to come back to though, Kimberly, is we talked. You asked some tactical things. We spoke about dropping the case off somebody, right? And I don't want to let this skip by with just a good notion, because I want to talk into how do we do that.
Yeah.
And I remember the time when I was sitting with with Len and who helped us through that time and Helen, and it was an actual out loud prayer. Father God, I've got this case against Kimberly. Father God, I've got this case against Kimberly. And Father, and I want to end them now. And I cut them and I cut any strings attached to them. And I want to be released from them. And I'm sorry, God, that I had these cases. And it was a very emotional time. Mm-hmm. Very emotional.
It was.
And But because, you know, because we're pouring out and because we actually meant it, it was an act of spiritual warfare as well.
That's good.
Absolutely.
So I want to transition into that, right? There would be people that are listening right now and their marriage is under attack from the enemy. So, you know, maybe we can talk about a couple of different ways the enemy attacks marriages and some things we can do about that, because I want to be super practical.
Yeah. Well, with the case, I guess, I think I remember Len actually saying to us, as things arise in your mind, in that moment, take the moment to say a prayer of forgiveness and to release, like technically you, in your prayer, you say, I release them from that case I've built against them. I release them for doing that. And then if something in particular, if you've done that prayer, but the same thing keeps popping back up in your mind, then that's something that you take to your partner. But you take to them not with a, you know, you did this, but like, you know, when this happened, this left me feeling like, you know, however it left you feeling. So, yeah, it's a, I don't think it's an instant journey. Forgiveness, I don't think is always an instant thing. Sometimes it is. It does require a practical outworking, you know, but we live by faith, and forgiveness in itself is a faith-filled step. So, yeah, other practical thing, like so other supernatural.
Other ways the enemy, what's another way that the enemy may attack a marriage of somebody in business, a believer in business?
Yeah, you need to always make sure, I suppose, that you are for your partner. So that's another thing. If you have a case against your partner, your perception of them is in a vulnerable position and it can start to get warped by the enemy. So you need to make sure that, just like you need to guard yourself from lies of the enemy, you need to guard yourself from lies against your partner that the enemy is trying to use to you. In your mind. So always be for your partner, and you'll know when you're starting to build a case, because all of a sudden you're like, he's always doing this, or it's always like, it's that sort of language. So know that, you have a healthy perspective and you're always for your partner and guarding that.
Yeah. How often do you guys have a conversation like that? Is it only when it arises, or is there every month or every 6 months, or what, do we have a check-in and like, this is how things are going?
Well, I think now that we do it most Tuesdays, actually, like without having to structure it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a natural part of us catching up with our kids and business and all of that around.
Yeah.
So that was going to be the thing that I talked into. I think one of the ways the enemy will attack a marriage, and I can only speak about this as a bloke, I think that when there is tension in a marriage, most men, as T.D. Jakes says, go in their cave.
Yeah.
Now, in their mind, they just check out. Now, I don't know whether women do that too, because I can't speak to that. But you know, because these men, by the way, they know how to be present. They know how to do the dishes, take the rubbish out, maybe even have sex, all those things. They look there, but in their mind, they've checked out.
Yeah.
They have nothing to contribute. And the enemy feeds them with the lies. Don't bring it up, because you don't rock the boat. Don't. And what that's doing is stopping any communication. And that's the father of lies playground, because he can just keep us bound up in our own thought processes, and we get worse and worse and worse. So I would say that if your marriage is stretched right now, one of the greatest things you can do is start the communication, and it probably will be fireworks.
Yeah.
But the alternative is worse.
That's good.
Because you will just retreat to the point where you have no joy. You'll get to the point where you don't care if you get divorced, because the pain of staying is just too big.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you can just start talking, right? I think if you can just bring things up, then that will stop that complete checkout in people's mind.
What's the difference? Because you spoke about, you know, like dropping the case and everything like that, or dropping the tickets. Was that what you were saying? What's the difference between the things that you have to talk, that like we need to talk about this, and just letting something slide? How do you find that balance?
I think, like what I said before, like if something's bothering you, you just forgive them, right, for that. But if it keeps coming back up on a regular basis, then that is something that you need to have a conversation with your partner with.
Like Kimber said, let it slide in the moment when it's hot.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's nothing to be gained, I don't think, from my experience, of bringing it up in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, either you're angry or they're defensive or both. Mm. And that is, that's a surefire way to turn every conversation into an argument.
Mm. Yeah. And then the other practical thing, I think, to guard your marriage is time. You know, I think looking back now, we've had 3 kids and I do believe that it hasn't been easy for us because we haven't always had the support around us to have babysitters or anything like that. All of our parents are very busy as well, and our siblings have their own kids. So we haven't always had support in an easy babysitter. But I think this is another thing about what I was saying about putting your money where your mouth is. It's really worth the investment to pay for a babysitter just so that you and your partner can catch some one-on-one time.
Yeah.
I think as women, we tend to prioritize our children before our partners a lot. And that's great. Like, it's important that we honour the fact that children need time and they need love and they need care and they need all these things. But at the end of the day, if you haven't prioritised your relationship and it's not being protected and it's not growing as well, you run the risk of not having that when the children have grown a little bit older. So it's really important that you spend time together, especially when you are raising children, because they put such a tension between both husband and wife a lot of the time, not intentionally, but that's just what raising kids is like. So just trying to catch the time. I've preached about this before and I think I've blogged about it too, and taking the 5 is something that I've called it. In fact, when I did speak about it, all the people who got back to me about how much they loved that message were men, and they recited to me my own message, which was amazing. And they loved that concept of taking the 5, which meant once a week, sit down, no TV, whoever's in the business can't talk about business. So if that's both of you, you can't talk about business. And whoever's raising the kids can't talk about raising the children. It's literally a conversation between husband and wife about each other and about the things of the future. So it's really about, like,
why don't you tell them our story when we took the 5?
So so this was one of the instructions that our beautiful Pastor Len had given us when we were on this brink of divorce, and he was trying to get us back together again and moving forward. He said, look, he educated us on this tip, and he said, look, just take 5 minutes out of your week, out of your busy weeks, only 5 minutes, sit on the couch, no TV, no kids, no work conversations, just 5 minutes talking to each other. And we just sat there in silence, and Wes likes to say it was like hearing crickets, you know.
Were you at least looking at each other, or could you not even look at each other?
Well, it was awkward. It was proper awkward.
It was incredibly awkward. And I think
that's when it dawned on us, though.
It was massively eye-opening.
Yeah, it's like, hang on a minute, I can't even talk to my wife about something because I've got nothing.
I've got nothing to say. Just to clarify, we weren't sitting there in stubbornness.
No.
I've got nothing to say. Yeah. You know, we were both intentionally trying to have a conversation, but there was nothing. There was nothing. And it really showed us that we had to reconnect. That was the issue. That's we had actually lost connection, and we had to reconnect. And I think just 5 minutes out of your week.
It's a pilot light. It starts something.
It's enough. It gives you that little spark. It gives you that reconnection. Yep, cool, we're still together, you know. And then you quite often find once you get on a roll, it doesn't last for only 5 minutes. You get chatting and then, you know, you've spent the whole night talking, and, yeah, so it's take the 5, try and get time together. It's crucial. Like Wes said before, holidays, you don't even need to have an expensive holiday. You can just go camping, you know.
Yeah, $10 tent.
$10 tent on eBay. I mean, like, literally, if you're in that place now where your marriage isn't the best, go home and do take the 5. I pretty much guarantee you that if you do that, it'll end up in a good time. Like, I don't just mean the chat, by the way. You know, like, I mean the adult relations. Like, it will bring a whole new dimension.
Yeah.
Because it's now not routine.
Yeah.
You know, you're exploring a whole bunch of other things, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Kimberly, we ask all our people to validate the entrepreneurs. Can you take 1 minute to speak to the entrepreneurs that are listening and validate them, because not enough people do?
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, not everybody is called to business. I think those in business quite often think that they have a mind or a brain just like everybody else, but you don't. Your mind and your brain is incredibly different to most other people. You think differently, you act differently, your perspective is different, you see things differently, and you are so called to business. Because if you were to compare your mind to people who are not called to business, then I think you would realize, oh, hang on, I'm different. And the kind of different that you are is so what the world needs today. We need entrepreneurs. We need people who are bold and courageous, to be innovative, to be creative thinkers, but also to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, to be in tune with what God wants for their life, to be in tune with what God wants for their community and for their nation. And you're in an amazing, unique position to be able to have that mindset coupled with the call upon your life, but also with the wisdom and the insight that the Lord gives you for your community and your nation. And also I just want to give a massive shout out in particular to women, yes, who are in business, who, you know, you cop it so much more than men in business. You get the why are you in business, you know, you get the shouldn't you be at home raising your children stuff, you get it all. And so big shout out, especially single mums in business who don't have any support around them. If you're a woman in business, you know, I know it's 2019 and are we still talking about women in business? This is ridiculous, but like we are. So congratulations. I'm so glad that you, it makes me emotional. I'm so glad that you just fight that daily fight and just get up and keep going. Get around other sisters in business. Don't forsake the sisterhood. And make sure you surround yourself with other women who support you in business too, not continue to push you down. So amen to you, sister.
Come on, preacher Kimbo.
All right. Kimberly, if somebody was listening to this and they're like, I like what she has to say, I love her, I want to follow her, what are some handles that somebody could find you on social media?
Oh, just look for Kimberly Hone on Facebook. Just my name, really. Kimberly Hone on Insta.
Is there a hyphen or is it just straight out Kimberly Hone?
There's a hyphen on Instagram, Kimberly-Hone. Yeah, underscore Hone. Sorry, I don't even know my own handles. These boys will mark it for me.
Yeah. So if you want to go and hear it. Now, we have a couple of questions that we ask everybody, just some quick ones at the end. What's your favorite scripture?
Oh, gee, that's pressure. It's not really a scripture. It's more like.
No, you need a scripture.
Oh,
The Bible.
Oh, I don't like narrowing it down to one scripture. That's a lot of pressure.
What's your favorite one today?
You don't have to give the reference.
Okay, greater is he in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
Who's your favorite Bible character?
Deborah.
Ooh. Favorite type of worship music?
Wren Collective.
Ooh, very good. And the most important question of all, when the State of Origin comes on, are you maroon or are you blue?
Don't even go there. It's Queensland.
Come on,
I live in New South Wales, so I'm sorry, but right. Queensland.
Well, it's been a real delight. Hey, if you've been listening to this, Man, I really pray that it is feeding into your marriage. And, you know, the last thing we need is marriages to fall apart because of business. At the end of the day, they're more important. And Amen. Let's keep them more important.
Yeah.
And at the same time, guys, you know, let's just take these steps and let's go and feed into these marriages because they're important. It's a witness to the world when we can have a great marriage and be in business. So let's invest in them and let's go and do that. Kimberly, I love you.
Aww,
you're the best. And it's been a delight to have you on the podcast. Guys, we'll have this out to you really soon and then we'll have another podcast out. Our whole goal here is just to invest in you, help you build a kingdom business, help you have influence, help you be profitable, because I know if we can do that at scale, then we can change culture. Fully appreciate you listening. Love you heaps.
All right, bye. Thank you.